So as we always do on Friday, we start off on a positive note and highlight journalism that stood out this week. So Eli Clifton, let's start off with you. What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, to take a very different focus than I think what we'll be discussing for the rest of this hour, the long-form piece that really struck me was published on The Highline, which is the Huffington Post's long-form sort of section. It's called Out Here, No One Can Hear You Scream. It's by Catherine Joyce. It was reported in conjunction with the Investigative Fund here at the Nation Institute that I've done a lot of work with, so it's self-interest here in promoting it. But I think it's a fantastic piece about the history of gender discrimination, sexual harassment, and sexual assault in the National Park Service, and how specifically looking at the culture of the boatmen, as they're called, the men who pilot the boats in the Grand Canyon for the Forest Service, showing how much like sort of tailhook or the history of sexual harassment and discrimination in the military, there are a group of men, as it were, in the Forest Service who have sort of been treated as above the law, who perceive themselves as being irreplaceable, and for a large part, for at least a couple decades, have largely been able to behave in these ways without any risk or threat of consequences.
You know, I'm really glad you brought this up. I started reading this article last week, and I got so angry and upset that I just stopped. There's some sexual harassment cases going on at Berkeley. I mean, it's just endless. So can you tell us what is happening because of this? Are there investigations? Is anything being done about this?
You know, there are investigations. People have been suspended. People have been fired. It's not that there's been a total lack of action. But what is really striking is that this is something that's been happening over decades, and it really continues to be that way. Obviously, they haven't dealt with the problem to the same degree that the military has. The military still has a problem with sexual harassment and sexual assault, but it's much more in the open, the discussion about it, and the fact that there's an acknowledgement from senior leadership that this is something that has to be addressed. What you see in the Forest Service is still this trend of penalizing the women who bring forward the complaints. The idea that even amongst the men who might be sympathetic to wanting to help with a report of sexual harassment, that they feel like their careers will be put in jeopardy if they cooperate. It really indicates that there's a systemic problem that, and one hates to keep using the U.S. military as the best example of how to deal with institutionalized problems like this, but certainly seeing the military's sexual assault problems get addressed over the past few years and new initiatives and the public debate about it, it just shows how far behind the Forest Service is dealing with similar problems.
So kudos to Catherine Joyce for the story. Video and photos are by Emily Cassie, and it's called Out Here, No One Can Hear You Scream, The Dangerous Culture of Male Entitlement and Sexual Hostility Hiding Within America's National Parks and Forests. And this was a collaboration between the Huffington Post Investigative Fund and Highline. I'm so glad you brought this up, Eli. I'm definitely going to finish this over the weekend. Thank you. That's Eli Clifton, a fellow at the Nation Institute. And what about you, Roque Planas? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Excellent. Yeah, and first off, I just wanted to thank y'all for the shout-out to Highline. It's a project that we're really proud of. It's put out a lot of great material here at the Huffington Post. But one of the things that I saw this week, sort of in preparing to come and talk about what's going on in Cuba, is actually a bit older article, but I think that it's very important now, looking at what's going on with, you know, the aftermath of Obama's visit and so forth. And it's an article that was put out by Bloomberg called Want to Do Business in Cuba, Prepare to Partner with the General. And it's all about Raul Castro's son-in-law, Luis Alberto Rodriguez, who's a military official who controls Gayesa, which is the holding company that Cuba uses to deal with foreign investments. And they manage the largest enterprises in tourism and other areas of the Cuban economy. It's a very, very powerful institution that not a lot of people know about. And what I really liked about this piece is that it gets into those very sort of detailed questions about how Cuba's government works, how Cuba's looking at engaging with the rest of the world. And it was very enterprising in the sense that the Cuban government is rather opaque, and it's very difficult for reporters to get an idea of what they're really thinking. And I thought that this reporter, you know, went the extra mile, and that he did also do a really good job in looking at how the changes that are going on in Gayesa, and the way that Cuba is approaching foreign investment is trickling down to the general public, and did a really good job of sort of showing how people are reacting to those changes. And it's very important now, because after Obama's visit, I think, you know, that particularly the tourism economy is going to become extremely important for a lot of Cubans who are expecting that, you know, this newer relationship with the United States is going to have some kind of positive impact in their life.
Right. So, all right, that sounds like a really good article, and we're going to talk about this issue in just a few minutes. So kudos to Bloomberg's Michael Smith, and the piece is "Want to Do Business in Cuba? Prepare to Partner with the General." And that is Roque Planas. He is editor of the Huffington Post Latino Voices section, and we'll put links at yourcallradio.org.